Blog Talk Radio.
Come on and give the Lord a good shout of praise in the house. Worthy is his name. Righteous is his name. Holy is his name. How many of you know that faithful is the name of our God?
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad that you have stopped by the show today. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to each and every guest that may be tuning in today, maybe at their job, at their desk. I want to say good morning. Thank you for so very much for tuning in to the show today. And we have a wonderful show today set up today, talking about perfecting love. But before we start, let me say a prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the love that you have showed upon each and every one of us, even those that would touch this line today, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for that love that will run from heart to heart and breast to breast, dear Heavenly Father. We give you the praise. We give you the honor today for what you're doing and what you're going to do in each and every one of our lives, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for favor today. We thank you for blessings today. Wherever we have to go, dear Heavenly Father, everyone that's listening to this show, dear Heavenly Father, shower them with blessings and favor today, dear Heavenly Father, from on high. And God, we're going to say thank you. We're going to praise you. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, and we're going to love each and every person that we come in contact with, dear Heavenly Father. This day, we will give them a smile and a hug, if possible a hug, but not a smile, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your love, unconditional love, perfecting love for each and every one of us. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and thank God. Again, I'd like to say good morning to each and every person that have touched the line this morning. We're giving God praise today for this broadcast that's on Blog Talk under Joy and Peace. And if anyone would like to have someone call in, the number, the guest call-in number is area code 646-716-4389. That number to call in again is area code 646-716-4389. And today we're going to be coming from scripture. We are talking about perfecting love today. And we thank God for that perfecting love. You know, when you think about perfecting love, you know, Christians perfect love by abiding in God through Jesus Christ. You know, everybody talks about heaven. Ain't all going to heaven. That's an old spiritual saying. We might add that everybody talking about love ain't experience it. You know, when you think about some people say they love you and you see their action, you know, no subject rob a human attention more than love. And as I was thinking about that topic for today, you know, the example posed several questions. Are all these people speaking of the same thing when they talk about love? What is the nature of genuine love? You know, where does it come from? How do you experience it? How do we recognize true love? And what does love demand of us? You know, I'm glad you asked me these things. You know, Jesus' beloved disciple John was intrigued with this subject. And as an old man, possibly in his late 90s, John wrote in moving depths of the nature and evidence of genuine love. Now, I went to 1 John 4, 1 through 21 to see what this spirit-led apostle had to tell us about God, about his most important subject. And we're talking about perfecting love from the Word of God. First of all, we can go to chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And we're reading by testing the Spirit. You know, only those spirits that confess the full incarnating of the Christ, the Son of God, and Jesus of Nazareth are of God. Furthermore, only those who accept the apostolic witness to Christ exhibit the spirit of truth. You know, the source of love. We're going to find this all in 1 John. And when you go to 4, 7, and 8, we should love one another. For love comes ultimately from God. anyone who does not love is not from God, for God's very nature is love. You know, the example of love is the extreme example. Perfect definition of love is God's sacrifice of his own son to give us new life. God's gift of love to us should show and lead us to intimacy, his love, in our action toward others. And, you know, when we get down to perfecting love, the key to perfecting love, no one has ever seen God. But we have seen God's love in Jesus, whom God sent as our Savior. You know, furthermore, if we love as God loves us in Christ, others can see God's love in us. God's love perfectively realizing in our lives remove all fear. You know, we're talking about perfecting love. Now I'm going to get to the command to love. You know, the motive of love is God's love for us. A refusal to love others show that you and we have not yet loved God. Jesus Christ command us to love others. And, you know, as I was going through the word of God say, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and know God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know, we all need love. I'll say that again. We all need love. You know, some people say, I love you because you can do this, or I love you for that. But we generally need the love of Christ in our life. You know, we hunger for love. And whether without it, if we are to experience genuine love in its highest sense, we must first discover the source of love. And John began his discussion of love in the passages that I'm going to read to you on this line today, the source of genuine love, God's kind of love. And verse 7, it says, returning to a previous theme, and as we read this, talking about John addressing the church, showing his own love for them, he called on them to love one another. John said, the source for loving others is from God. Ultimately, all generally love flows from your Creator himself, who created us in his own image and thereby gave us the capacity to love as he loved. Those who love as God loves show they have been born of God and have a personal experience knowledge of God. You know, anyone who does not love shows he or she does not know God, because God is love. You know, such a person reveals that he or she does not live in a personal relationship with God, from whom all loves flow. We have to have that relationship with God. You know, God is love. John concluded an explanation for his bold assertion. God's nature is love. You know, the word for love here is agape, a word that uniquely referred to God's kind of love, self-giving, self-sacrificing, eternal commitment, regardless of the merit of the beloved. God is the source of love. My, 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 my. So we can love this way only if we are really or rightly related to God. God's nature as love is manifest through those who are saved. Christians demonstrate their relationship with God by manifesting love to others. We are to show love one to another and for one to another. You know, you don't have a problem because God's word said you can't be of God and not love. The room became very still, and I still do not know how the main eventually resolve his moral and spiritual dilemma. One thing is certain, love for others defines who knows God and who does not. Love is not the only maker of God's people, but it is a necessary maker. And you know, we're talking about perfecting love today. When you think about what is the high example of love you can think of, you remember an account of someone plunging into a burning car to rescue a loved one, for an example. Maybe you think of the thrilling love between a man and a woman. You may think of self-giving love of a mother or father. The Apostle John held up an example far higher than any of these. John's example of love is what leads us to recognize these other cases as demonstrated of genuine love. You know, the Greek word for love usually is agape. You know, this word has an interesting history in the Greek language. The Greek has several words for love. Philia, indicating respect of equal love for someone for his or her own enticed worth. Eros referred to love for someone for what they did for another, love for another, that center on itself. But Greeks, however, had no destiny of great reward. So we're giving God the praise this morning for that love that he has for each and every one of us. This is what John meant when he said, by his love, the agape of God was manifest. The agape is defined in God's act of sending his only begotten Son into the world to give us God's own kind of life through him. Love, which is agape, cannot be seen in its pure form in any human action or emotion. Even our love for God has not been revealed. You know, God does not exhibit love in its pure expression. Love cannot be seen supremely in our love for God, but in God's love for us. And how did God reveal the sublime nature of his love for us? He revealed his love for us in sending his Son to become the sacrifice, the perpetuation that atoned for our sins. You know, the only other place this word occurred in the New Testament Bible, those who understand the word to mean the sacrifice that satisfies. And those who take the word to mean the sacrificial by which God bestowed his fingerprint and gentle preferring the translation. You know, God sacrificed gifts of his Son was meant by whom he had come into God's kind of love. If we had accepted God's love in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we also ought to love one another. When you think about how God gave his life for you and I, he loved us, you all. He loved us. He cared for us. He's doing everything he can for us. And we just love him today. You know, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfectly in us. You know, hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And, you know, we have seen and do testify that the Father seen the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Thank you, area code, for coming on. Let me put them on. Amen. Hold on. I'm just going to click you in. Good morning, area code 314.
Oh, how are you?
I am fine. How are you?
Uh-huh. Fine. You talking about, should a Christian marry a non-believer?
Well, the word speaker that you should be, you should not be unequally yoked.
You should not be unequally yoked.
Uh-huh. So if that person is not believing in the same thing that you're believing in, for as for marriage, both of y'all should sit down and talk about that. Or you're a Christian and they're non-Christian, y'all should sit down and talk about that before you become married. You should see what your views, what their views are. You should come together.
Yeah, because I'm a non-believer. I'm
you're
a non-believer.
Non-believer.
Yeah, I don't believe in God, don't believe in Jesus.
Okay.
But
the person that you in love with, they believe in Jesus.
No, they. Matter of fact, they didn't. It was. I had been knowing her since we was, children. I think she was 10, mm-hmm. I was 12, and
uh-huh.
we ended up marrying. We stayed together for nearly 45 years until she passed away.
Oh, that's a blessing. But y'all love one another, huh?
Yeah, and our children are non-believers too.
Okay, so you brought them up to be non-believers. Could you tell me why?
Well, we just don't believe in that. We just don't go along with what I guess you can say we was taught when we was brought here to this country.
Okay,
because
where you
had
that
before we was brought. Oh, when we were slaves. When slaves was brought here, they wasn't believing in this Bible.
Okay,
stuff.
But in 40-some years, good as God has been to you, you didn't. You never thought in your fine like mind that God loved you, that God created you, that everything that you did every day, that God did it. You thought you just popped up. It was osmosis. You didn't never think of a higher being?
Well, no, really, because there's more than one God. Every ethnic group has their own, and we just didn't believe in that. And we've done very well. Even today, I will buy people food that's hungry and so forth. And
uh-huh.
they say, God bless you. And I tell them, well, I don't believe in God. But,
okay, you don't
that's
believe
just
in
the
God.
Way it goes.
That's the way it goes. What I want to ask you, you buy people food and things if you see they're hungry and stuff. So that
mm-hmm.
means you got compassion in your heart somewhere. You got some love. Right?
Well, yeah, love is an emotion.
Okay, well, love just have to be. God, when he went to the cross, he didn't go to the cross and die for us for emotion.
Well,
he loved each and every one of us.
But I don't believe in that, though. But I want to ask you one other thing, too. In the Old Testament, you talk about Yahweh.
Uh-huh.
And Yahweh said that his son was Israel. And Jesus, Yahweh was the God in the Old Testament. And he specifically told his people that he was his God and not others' God, because he told them who not to deal with and so on. Do not marry your sons with their daughters and their daughters with your sons and so on and so on. He said
uh-huh.
that his first son is Israel. Then it goes on to, even in the Old Testament, I'm sorry, the New Testament. The Christians mm-hmm. call the Old Testament the Old Testament. It never was called that by them. Then it said, God said, I come for the house, for the lost sheep of the house of Israel in
mm-hmm.
the New Testament. Then all of a sudden it comes down to where he's a God for everybody. And that, it seemed like that evolved as time went on and people would change things. But originally the God of the Old Testament, Yah, was not a God for everybody.
Hmm.
And he killed too. He didn't love. He killed, he killed up a lot of people. You remember that?
Well, he permitted things to happen. That didn't mean he didn't love us. That wasn't to me that we are not to not believe in God.
But he didn't love everyone.
Look how many people are killing people now.
Oh,
well,
I know
the
that,
first
that
thing
goes
they say,
on.
They believe in God and they love God, but look how many people, even children, that don't even know. Really,
yeah, the United States is in other parts of the world killing other people too.
So,
And Christians here don't say anything about that. It seems like they just like that to happen. They were trying to proselytize the Muslims and take their land and stuff and carry on.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Today our show is talking about perfecting love. But I think everyone in the phone is lit up right now. If anybody would like to answer this young man on some questions he have, where he said, please feel free to press 1 on your keypad.
Yeah, I'd like somebody to answer that question for me.
Uh-huh, because just about, it is a religious show, it is a Christian, and everybody have their views, but I am a Christian. I am a believer, because I know I personally couldn't do nothing without God. Me personally is not out to kill anybody. Me personally is not trying to put one country against another country, because God is love, and we are talking about perfecting love. And I know you would like to hear from others, and everyone that's out there would like to talk to this young man today about love. He says he was married for 40 years. His wife passed away, and all of them is non-believers. They brought their children up as non-believers. But I am a believer. I'm not talking against anybody that's a non-believer, but I hope before the end of time that you will become a believer to know the things that God is doing for you, God have done for you, and even with your children, that they can come to know Jesus Christ, because it's all about him. It's not about us personally. It's not about what we do for somebody
or how we do it. What do we have to gain from that? We've already do very well. And you're only doing
very well on account of him. But now if he would take his hands off of you, that would be a different story.
I don't believe in that, ma'am. I don't want his hand on me.
Well, I can't change your views.
Yeah.
But you said,
how do people get along? You know, because there's an increasingly number of people that's coming out. You don't know what people believe. They say it. But people come out and say they don't believe. So I guess there would be one more division, especially with blacks, because there's a lot of blacks. There's the African-American free thinkers, a group in Chicago and other places that don't believe. So I guess we would be further divided.
Well, we don't have to be divided. We can all come together. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be together.
Well, didn't you say something about equally yoked?
Yeah, I was telling you, he wants us to be equally yoked. When I was talking about, when you was telling me about your marriage, how long it lasts, and I was saying, and the word of God is saying, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, but you need to believe. Now, you and your wife, you say, was unbeliever. So, see, y'all
both. Well, how about the other people that don't believe? I mean, for instance, like I told you, you got groups here that's coming out into the opening saying that they do not believe, and so on, so on, so on. So do the equally yoke also pertain to them as far as getting along with those who do believe?
Well, I'm meeting what I do in the ministry. Hold on. I have somebody want to come on right now. Hold on. Just a minute, pulling them in. Area code 423, you're not online.
Good morning, praise the Lord.
Good morning, praise the Lord. This is a young man, I know you was listening, and he don't believe. He said he was married for 40-some years, and he raised his children as non-believers. They don't believe in Jesus, and you heard, I think, some of the conversation when you come on. Would you like to address some of this?
Yes, ma'am. Just a couple of things that I heard him say that, I can tell that he needs to be enlightened on because he's inaccurate in his learning. But you were talking about being unequally yoked. That's where one is a Christian and the other is not. But when they're both not Christians, you're walking equal. But the sad part is both are lost. It's the blind leading the blind, as the Bible says. And it also goes on to tell us that unless a man be born again, that he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless a man accepts Christ as his Savior, then he's just lost. He's just out on his own. And it don't matter if it's one, if it's hundreds. It don't matter how many groups or gangs it is. If they don't acknowledge Christ as their Savior, they're lost. They're on the outside. And that's why the Bible says that only a few are going to make it into heaven. The road to heaven is narrow. And so, you know, it's just for that few. It's so many that have their own ideas instead of following what the Word of God says. I noticed he was talking about earlier about what Yahweh was saying in the Old Testament. Yahweh is just one of the names that was God was called. The names of God, it pertains to what he's doing at that particular time. There are many names. There's Yahweh, Jehovah, Jehovah Sitkanu, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shema, there's Edania, Elia. I mean, there's many, many names that he's called in the Bible. But the names are pertaining to what he's doing at that particular time. And when he was saying he was talking about Israel with his people, he was talking about those that were under the law. When it got to the New Testament, it changed because Jesus had come on the scene. Once Jesus was born as flesh and blood, walked this earth, bore our sins, bled and died, and went back to heaven, we were no longer under the law. We were under grace. So that's where the change came in. And as far as the killing, because they were under law, man could not stick to the law. That's why so many of them were being killed. They were under the law, but because they were born in sin, they couldn't just do what was stay under the law. They couldn't just follow every law. Somebody's going to mess up somewhere. And, yeah, that was the punishment during that time. But now that we're born under grace, now that we have Jesus Christ as our atonement, then he's not killing us the way he did then. And man,
well, I disagree with you on you saying Yahweh. You know, many ethnic groups around the world had their own gods long before there was any story of a Yahweh, and they had a right to. Man created gods, but you saying Yahweh was a deity to his own people. The Yahweh created him. And he was not. He says it quite plainly in many of the chapters, Deuteronomy 76.
And it pertaining to what was going on at that particular time.
It was
Elohim means God.
Well, ma'am, I let you talk. You're not letting me finish.
No, I apologize, but I'm saying you're saying I'm wrong, and that's not true.
Well, it is true historically. It is true because the Yahweh is created. The Assyrians had their God, Ashur. The Egyptians had theirs. The Greeks had theirs. The Romans had theirs. So all ethnic groups had their own. Even blacks had their own God until they came here to the Americas and they got enforced upon Christianity. But Yahweh was added into, was in the first five books, and the Greeks came on and added on to it. The Romans added on to it. Then it evolved into what it is today. And there's nothing wrong for people to believe like that, but to say that it is the number one thing is totally, being misaccurate.
Yes, brother. You're correct, because you were saying that blacks didn't have a religion until they were forced to come to America. That's not true.
No, they didn't have Christianity until they came to America.
That's not true. Many black people during that time.
Yeah, Stanley Livingston didn't come down into West and Central Africa until in the 1800s. Blacks was brought here in the 1500s, 1455 actually. 1555.
Well, I wasn't trying to debate history with you, but I just wanted to help you to understand about the names of God. These are the names.
So have you ever heard of Ashur?
Yes, I have.
And who God was that?
I'm not worried about whose God it was. I studied.
Well,
the
you
name.
Said he was a god. That was the god of the Assyrians, and many other ethnic groups had their own gods. But I was just telling, as the lady, being the fact that you have blacks in America who are non-believers, then you have those that are, then I guess that's just further division among blacks, because you mentioned that you have to be equally yoked. So it'd just be a further division. Blacks that don't believe can never be able to get anything done with those that do believe.
Well, we thank you for coming on today, sir. And we're not trying to change your belief, but I was sure today
that
love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you. I was just wondering, trying to get that question. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody will call in after I hang up and I'll continue leading. I just wonder, you know, we always talk about blacks don't get along and don't work together. Well, I guess not, because you have a large contingent. You know, my grandson, 16, he's a non-believer, and he does very well in everything that he attempts to do, school and athletics and so on and so on. So, you know, I just wondering how that's going to go down. Thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome. Thank you for coming to the show today. Well, we're talking today about perfecting love today and how God loves each and every one of us, even the non-believers. God loved them even if they don't believe in God. God created them, and he still loved them too, as well as those that believe. I want to thank you, area code 423, for coming on today and explaining to him a little bit more about it, because, you know, we are commanded to love as God loved. No matter what views we may feel, we know God is loving. We know God went to the cross for each and every one of us. He died on the cross. Excuse me. And if we had it to do today, could you put your son on the cross to die for everyone in the world for their sin? And we give God the praise. We give him the praise. And we thank God. You know, even in the midst of confusion, even in things that come up, you know, God is still in control. And today we are talking about perfecting love. We thank God for that. And we know and believe the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You know, our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world today. So you see, we had boldness this morning because we're speaking of a God that we know about, a God of love, a God that is kind, a God that will do everything for us. You know, he manifests himself to us daily, give us command, you know. He say, love one another. And that's what we have to do. In spite of whoever don't love the Lord, whoever don't believe in the Lord, we believe in it, and that's what we do. We're going to love the Lord at all costs. You know, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And by this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. And if any of my guests that came on today would like to say something or share something in the topic today, perfecting love, feel free to hit one on your keypad and I will bring you in. I'm giving God the glory today and the praise, because, you know, this is what the show is all about. We're going to have some that do and some that don't. So I know we can't please everybody. God knows that. But we're going to do what he have commissioned us to do. And so today we're going to continue on talking about the love of God, perfecting the love. You know, we all have never seen God. That's what we say, but we have really seen God. If we love as God loves, God lives in us, and his love is brought to us, intended goals in each and every one of us. And we thank God for it today. Area code 423, did you want to say something?
Yes, ma'am. I was just thinking about the subject today, being about love and how so many people can miss it. You know, there is no greater love than the love of God.
Yes, ma'am.
All that we do that is good or bad, he still loves us through it. And that's some kind of love. There's no way man has that kind of love for each other. Or can we? Can we love our brothers enough that we would be willing to lay down and die in their place? You know, that's the kind of love that God is holding us to. That's the kind of love that he's calling us to do. He's telling us to love our neighbor it's just as we love ourselves. And so I couldn't live without it. I don't know how anybody could live without God and without his love. And I understand everything that he protects me from, he keeps me from, all the good that goes in my life, everything that happens, it's all because of his grace.
Mm-hmm.
His grace and his mercy, because he loved me so much that he protects me. And it's funny because he protects the sinners too. He protects those that are lost as well. And I pray one day they come to the knowledge of it and recognize that it's God's love that is doing it and not love ourselves that's doing it. That's keeping us. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, call all the callers that's still on the line and those that might be on the archive. You know, we think about the fruit of love. You know, the word of God say, beloved, let us love one another for the love of God. And everyone that loves it is born of God and know God. You'll find that in 1 John 4:7. And you know, excuse me, the love of God is a fruit of the Spirit. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. We can have the love of God in our heart only to the degree that we have God in our life. You know, if God's love is truly within us, it will show in our churches, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our personal life, school, just like, you know, the caller we had on just a while ago. You know, God still displaying love because God loved us. You know, when we ask God to give us the precious fruit of his loving spirit, it can be increased only through his presence in our lives. You know, the more we pursue God, the more his goodness shows in our lives. The more we follow Christ, the more his love will shine through us. The more we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life, the more whole we will be. You know, and I just think about, you know, love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And like you were saying, Carla, we can't make it without God's love. I don't care what we're doing, what we're saying, how we think, we're feeling. Because when you know you don't have nobody else to say they really love you, you got God. God is standing right there. He loves you. And, you know, when the good seeds from the fruit of the Spirit germinate, say, in our garden of life, it will grow, mature, produce 30-fold in some lives and 60-fold or 100-fold in others. You know, often we may feel inadequate, but God knows what each one of us is capable of doing. He can empower us to produce and to be the best to our ability. You know, we often meet troubled people. Let me say that again. We often meet troubled people. Do we notice the person in church who is burdened with cares and worry for a loved one gone astray? Or can we see the unhappy, hurting child who need a nod of approval or a word of affirmation? Do we recognize the insecure teenage boy or girl who need reassurance from an adult? We need to encourage these in such a way that they feel God's love flowing through us. You know, for the love of God is merciful, thoughtful, and sincerely concerned about the goods of others. You know, we become loving and lovely by loving him who is ever loving, because God is ever loving. And, you know, we're just giving God the praise this morning because, I mean, he is just so worthy. He is worthy to be praised. And when we just think, I mean, when I came up with perfecting love, just knowing how God loved me, how I love God, and how he loved me so that he died, gave his son, and died on the cross for my sin. Everybody's sin that will come to this line. That shows you just how much God loves us and how much he cares for us. We have to maintain our first love. You know, Christ commanded the church, you know, to do that. And, you know, somebody will say, well, how can we as church or individual maintain our first love? You know, as we like, you know, like the children who got a new red wagon, a little child got a new red wagon in the excitement of his first love. He was very careful with the wagon.
Meaning when God give you something, how in love you with it. You love that new house God give you. You love that car that God give you. But you had you thought about, you didn't just get that by osmosis on your own. You thought you were just waltzing, lacing, dacing through the tula. When God blessed you with this thing, a good job. Children that mind you. Children that's behaving. Children that's not their own drug. But children that love Christ, you bringing them up in a home with love. With, you know, obedience, minding. And, you know, God lives in us, and we live in God by the presence of His Spirit in us. And I know personally for myself, I could do nothing without God. Everything hangs on God, God's love in our life, each and every one of us that's on this line right now. That, you know, we have a relationship, and when you have a relationship with God, a true relationship with God, you're going to love God's people in spite of the man or woman that you may see walking down the street and you know they're not saved. That don't mean you stop loving them just because they're not saved. You don't stop loving them because they're under the bridge. You're going to put your arms around them. You're going to let them know how much God loves them, and you love them too. You know, and the very speak of perfecting God's love in a slightly different sense then. Now, here's some points that, I, you know, I have. God's love is perfected as we abide in God through love. And God abides in us. Whatever is lacking of God's love in our life is brought to completion only by our constant and close personal relationship with God, who is love. You know, as we live in relationship with God and enjoy His relationship with us, you know, fear is dispelled. What do we have to fear if we experience daily the love of God who created us in His image, recreating us, excuse me, in the image of Jesus Christ and enabling us to love as He loved? My. Area code 832. Do you have anything you want to say today on perfecting love? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we giving God praise for this show today. I'm going to put us a song on right quick while I get me a drink of water. Hold on. I'll be ready for someone to say something when I come back after this song.
Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord. We know Jesus can work it out. You know, if someone say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he have seen and cannot love, God, whom he have not seen. You know, in this commandment we have from him that the one who loves God should love his brother also. And on this lesson today, talking about perfecting love, we have the capacity to love only because he first loved us. When we love as God loved, superficially, sacrificially, we show we have experienced God, who is defined as love. Anyone who claims to love God while hating others, especially while hating his brother, shows himself or herself to be dishonest. You know, today, excuse me, I'm going to leave with you all today. We love God who is love, and at the same time, not love for those whom God sent his love, son. You know, just think about it. Do you love others? All others? How can you tell? Ask yourself that question. Are you willing to engage in self-sacrifice action for the sake of those who do not particularly love you? Is the love of God fulfilled in your own life? An example, can others see God's love? Even God himself can be living in you. And has God's love removed from your heart fear of those who are different, fear of the future, fear of eternity? And that last one right there, can God's love remove from your heart fear of those who are different, like we had on the line earlier, fear of the future, fear of eternity? When you think that, can you love others simply because of God's love that you have experienced? Can you love even those who do not deserve it? Those who do not love you, can you love them back? Think about that. You know, we can measure up to these things. Actually, none of us can in ourselves. Only God can do within us. So today, we talked about perfecting love, that love that Jesus has. Wait, let me see. Would somebody want to say something before we get ready to leave the line? Let me break. Now, area code 832, you're now on. Area code 832, you're on.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad I am.
Okay, you're on.
With my phone here, but on the, I heard the gentleman earlier speak about the Yahweh, the name of Yahweh. Well, that is a commandment. Yahweh will never cease because that's the name of God. God carried at least 200 different titles, but the title itself is that God's word will continue. It's a commandment that it will continue. And that continuation, so far as Yahweh is concerned, is I will continue in love. Love, whether you are a believer, and I would like to say this, that as a believer, you've studied greatly to understand the terminology of Yahweh and all of the other activities that you spoke about earlier. So there's a kindred relationship there, sir, that you are interested in becoming a believer. Otherwise, you wouldn't know what you know. So wanted to clarify that. In order to know what you know, you have to study to show yourself approved. And you did show an approval that you are studying the Word of God and that you are becoming a believer, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, because everybody believes. Whether you believe
you
that Jesus is who he is, because he is and he'll never change. He is the dominion one. He's El Shaddai. He's El Donai. He's Elohim. He's Shalom. He's the birthplace of righteousness. He's the conqueror. He's Emmanuel. All these give him the title of where he sits. And since he is the Word, and the Word fits everywhere at the same time, and there's nowhere has it never been without the Word, because the Word is life, the Word is truth, the Word is God. God is, he's a perfecter, he's life, he's liberty. God is. He's pure. Love conquers all of that. Yahweh is a form of love because he said it never diminishes. It always stands firm, and it is rooted and grounded in the core of God, which is a spirit, and they that worship him do so in spirit and in truth. Whether you believe it or not, he is the conqueror. He is the reason why you can open up your mouth and speak. He gave you the voice. He gave you the mind. And he says that in the mind of Christ, you become a lover of kindred. You are a loving human being. Excuse me. He said, man, love conquers many days. Love is a friend. Love is time. Love is freely. Love is good. Love is mercy and walks humbly. Love your enemies. And I'm sure you do that too, sir. You spoke about it. Who is love? God is love. It's good that he loves you, because had he not loved us, we would not be here. Love brought in this dispensation, which is grace. And to us that have received him, we have received his love, whether you penetrated or activated or not. It is his love that has you here today. So that the meaning of love is so wide, so broad. It's a commandment that we love one another. It's a commandment that we love our enemies. It's a commandment that we walk in love. It's a commandment that we live in love. It's a commandment that we remove, love removes hatred. It's a commandment that love is everlasting, and it bans the truth. And love is, and it's never separate, and it can be, it's inseparable, because it's the reason why we're here. God is love.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much, caller 832. He's been left the line. When he seen that we were all believers and that we wasn't going against what we believed in God, even with all the names, like I told him, they're still God. God, you know, created him. How he think he got it by osmosis. But we give God the praise for the show today on love. If any of my listeners would like to tune in to say something before we leave the line, hit one on your keypad, area code 423. Would you like to say any words before we leave the line today? Well, we give God praise. Area code 770, thank you for coming on. Area code 918, I know you sure have a lot you could say, but I know you being quiet. Area code 409, I know you at work. But I give God praise for every person that have touched the line today, those that were listening on the archives later on. And we're just giving God praise. Our topic next week is going to be on joy, joy, joy. So that's what we'll be talking about next week. So please stay tuned. Keep coming to Joy and Peace, because you never know what day may be the day that God have you to speak as a guest on Joy and Peace Community Development Outreach. And we'll be more than happy to have you to continue coming on. And I thank you again today for coming on, for making the show what it was. Thank you so much. And until next week, I want you all to have a blessed, prosperous week that's coming up in the Lord. If I had the tentacles and octopus, I would hug each and every one of you all and tell you just how much I really, 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 truly love you, no matter what. All right. Y'all have a good one. Talk with you all later. Bye-bye.